Hi, this is George L. Preslian, and this is this audio is intended as part of the legendary L. Preslian family story, the digital novel that you can access through lpreslian.ca. In this part of the story that I'm going to talk about, it's a memory of several things. When I first met Voonman Ron, which is what he was calling himself, that body was calling himself. And so I'm trying to think of, you know, what is this audio really about? Because in some ways it's about the strange relationship that I learned about and have experienced in so many times, in so many ways, regarding spiritual beings in a body and the phenomena of that. But it's also a lot about forever beings as couples and the relationship that, you know, we here in the world have to couples and lovers and sex in that regard, and being together in a relationship that is a sexual, loving, supposedly loving, hopefully trying to be loving, maybe not always like that, relationship of being in a couple or being together with somebody, and how troubled that actually is. But this is about sort of the some phenomena and some circumstances that were happening at the time that I think are about couples. But, you know, again, like I'm trying to make clear, you know, when we talk about couples, what are we really talking about in the legendary L. Preslian family story? It's the idea of forever couples who are, you know, born appearing as if they're about 18 years old and already in a couple, like they're just born as a couple, born together and staying together forever. And some of those forever couples at the time that Voonman Ron was, you know, channeling to me from the All That Is about the stories of this legendary, you know, world called Ondalvisent, another place and another time from this world. And yet this world is inside of that world. In a way that's part of our story. And in that world, these couples are already trillions and trillions of years old and have been, so they've been together for a long time and are going to be together forever. And so that notion shows up in the idea of, say, getting married, and then you say, till death do us part. You know, it's sort of kind of the idea of being together, but just as long as the bodies can imagine, you know, being together until death, and then as if the spiritual being doesn't just go on and on and on forever. Which, of course, you know, it does. The soul, the spirit, whatever you want to call it. The reality of it is what I'm talking about. And so, there was this time around 1992, it's now 2016, in May, when I'm making this audio, I looked at a newspaper ad, because Voonman used to take newspaper ads, like full-page ads out, to advertise his spiritual work that he was doing. He was, you know, identifying himself as a spiritual healer, and having people come over to his place in Carlsbad, California. He had a nice house that he was renting with two women. He wasn't, you know, having any relations with them other than, you know, sharing a place together. But they had a nice place near the beach, not on the beach, but near the beach, and they were renting the place. And so he would see people over there at the time. And I came over there and I thought, you know, from the newspaper article about Voonman Ron, that he was going to be like an Indian man from India somehow. So when he opened the door and it's this like more than 6 foot tall blonde man, I was, you know, it's just right away things started to be different than what I had expected. And it was very enjoyable the whole years that I knew him, all of the things that were so different and yet seemed so familiar. And one of the very first things that he, in getting to know me and me getting to know him, that he, you know, that we started working on, was he had these tapes of these radio shows. There, one of the tapes, the radio show 10, is available on lpreslian.ca. You'd probably have to write to me to figure out how to get to it, but there's the basic tenets, there's the reality of life deprogram. Those are keywords that would probably get you to it. It's linked up inside of the L. Preslian, the legendary L. Preslian family story somehow. You get to this page and there's his radio show 10, which he said would be you know, he had all these incredible things to say about that radio show. In any case, he had 10 shows that he had, you know, paid to record. He'd gone to some radio station that had a service in California where you could sort of, you know, do your own radio show. And it was a full, complete, you know, radio show. I think each show might have been as much as an hour. And he had these tapes. He had the master tapes. In fact, he didn't even have the master tapes. Somebody else was holding the master tapes. And he just wanted to publish and record these tapes. He wanted to duplicate the tapes so that he could publish them and sell them to people as a series. And he had very clear ideas about that, but he really was sort of stuck on getting it done. And so I helped him to do that. And now looking back on, you know, having my experience about who he really is, meaning that, you know, he was Elvis and he's Justin Bieber, that spirit, that soul, Voonman Ron is, you know, carrying on in all of those bodies in some kind of a way that to me is totally what's happening. It's as incredible as that is. That seems to be what my experience is. And that's not exactly what he said himself when he was channeling the All That Is. He said that Elvis Presley was only somehow representing him. Like, it wasn't really him coming through. It was just like a copy of him in the baritone range of the voice and a certain part of the face. And that's it. He said the rest was just, you know, a body who was given, you know, those sort of elements in a sort of recording way, you know, like a super advanced computer technology. Like, here, you know, you can have this part of his face and you can have the baritone range of his voice. And we need you to have that, to bring that forward, because, you know, Robin L. Presleyan is coming and you need to sort of, you know, this is how we're paving the way for that through Elvis Presley. But when I look at Elvis Presley now in 2016, earlier this year, and I look at documentaries about his friends and how they related to him, and I see him in these, you know, documentaries and so on, I'm like, that's Voonman. He was already, you know, just like he was Voonman when he was in California, and where he legally changed his name to Robin L. Presleyan with my help. You know, he's Voonman now in Justin Bieber and doing exactly what he said he would be doing. And yet there's some things sort of seem a little bit different than the story I was told, the same as with Elvis. And so again, my role and my relationship and my part of the story, right, is part of the story and part of what fills in perhaps the missing pieces. And so another thing that he originally, in around 1992, when we first met, in those first few months, the first year or two, that he really wanted my help with, was to get together with his forever lover. And there was a woman, and I know her name, but I'm not going to say her name because I don't want to do that on a public recording. But, you know, he said, there's this woman and her name is da da da, and she was a model and she was in LA and he knew her somehow, but they didn't really know each other. He knew of her, and he felt that body, that person, you know, is like destined, or, you know, that's the person, that's my forever lover. So again, what does that mean, right? Because he's Voonman Ron from another civilization, and his lover is Ray Clodinon, and Ray Clodinon is from another civilization, and these are beings that are like trillions and trillions of years old, and these are beings that he said that, you know, myself and my forever lover, meaning he used to talk to me like, you're my forever father. Now, to him, he wasn't so concerned about the body. So, you know, the body that I have, he would just be, you would come to his front door and he would hug me and he would say, you know, greetings, welcome, my forever father. And, you know, then, you know, you'd kind of get like, okay, that's enough hugging, let me go, you know. And he'd say, well, just hold on a minute, because we're finishing bringing the being into the body. And he would do this with everybody that would come over. He would bring the being into the body. And then he would relate to the being and not really pay too much attention to the body, except for healings and so on, in the sense of like helping to move the body out of the way and open the way for the beings to come in. And so this is somehow, you know, what he was hoping for with this woman that he wanted to. So, but he wanted me to help him get together with her. And so it was, it wasn't until sometime later when he had, or through his channeling of the, of whomever he was channeling, Voonman was, when I first met him, channeling Jorn, J-O-R-N. And this is an entity that he was introduced to through another channel. So it's like a person who was one of his students came to him and said, I started channeling. And, you know, I got in touch with this entity and this entity wants to talk to you. And so I guess they did a channeling session together. And this is before I ever met Voonman Ron. And this other fellow, you know, channeled Jorn, as it turned out, and said, you know, oh, I'm Jorn, and I'm this, you know, entity, and you're Voonman Ron, and you're from another civilization. And then that's how Voonman got started channeling and being a spiritual healer himself. He was already at the time some kind of a personal development teacher. And that's where the Practically Magical Use of Lists, which we publish now on our website, had its origins, is in the classes and the courses that he was teaching in the mid-1980s in personal development. And when he was teaching those courses, he didn't even know that he was really Voonman Ron, you know, El Preslian from another civilization in another world. And so he found that all out from Jorn, who was being channeled through a body that had been one of his students. So he started to work with Jorn. Somehow Jorn made a connection with him, and he was able to continue communicating without using the other body, you know, who was doing the channeling originally. And that's pretty, you know, remarkable in itself. And then at a certain point, after he knew me and after he met me and after he had introduced me to a woman that he said is my forever lover, and that he told her, he's your forever lover. Now, it takes a number of years to sort that out, because from his point of view, like I said, he's relating to you, you know, as the forever being that you are. That's his talent. That's his gift. That was his focus at the time when he was in that body, is to bring his forever being and his forever voice and to get together with his forever lover and to bring all that into the body, into the now, into this world, and for a purpose and for a reason of bringing everybody home and waking everybody up, and of all the beings and all of the bodies. And he was very passionate about that. And so when he would, you know, say to this other woman, well, he's your forever lover, and say to me, well, she's your forever lover, he really meant the spiritual being somehow coming through our bodies somehow. And yet, because he would presence it as if, like, the body wasn't even important, like, you're the forever being, and the body, he wouldn't address the body, really. You would start to just feel like you'd have to sort it out for yourself. You know, well, what about my body? What about, like, and this was his whole thing, like, just kind of, like, the body is just the body, and yet, to him, he would disregard it altogether. And so, the experience was that I got together with this woman, and we became, you know, close with each other, relating like forever being to forever being. And it was incredible and amazing for me, the experiences that we had together. But one of the first things that we did was we went to Los Angeles, where we were going on a trip anyways. And while we were there, we called this lady who was a model that he knew that he didn't really know that he wanted to get together with, because that's his forever lover, Rick Lodenon, and how critically important it is for those two to actually get together, just like it's critically important for all the lovers to get together. And so it seems to me that there was this whole sort of juggling act, this whole step-by-step procedure that was going on, where first he and I would meet, and he already separately knew this other woman that was connected to the spiritual being that is my forever lover, from the point of view that, you know, I'm connected to a spiritual being, and a particular spiritual being that has a forever lover. So then he gets the two of us together, which creates a kind of balance, a kind of energy, a kind of force that's strong enough for us to go to LA. And while we were there on our trip, to call his, you know, call the body that he thinks has enough, you know, connection to his forever lover, that we would, and then we arranged for what, you know, kind of explaining the whole situation as best as I could, which I guess I had enough skill at doing that, and the presence of the forever beings enough to have communication on that level and somehow make it work on the human level. Whereas she was willing to go to his place and meet him in Carlsbad, California, which is a bit of a drive from Los Angeles. So I think she drove down there, she met with him, and then I remember him telling me afterwards, you know, how it went. And I don't remember the details of how it went at this time, but I do remember that it didn't really work out. Like, it was, you know, somehow this incredible thing was actually going to happen. And I stayed together for a number of years with the lady that I was with. But again, the distress and the trouble and the difficulty that forever lovers have to stay together and to be together and to sort out about the bodies and, you know, your life and all of that is a very, very, you know, interesting, complicated, and to me, very real thing that I definitely knew about long before I met Voonman Ron. And so one of the things that I want to say in continuation of this, on this audio, even though I can see that it's, you know, getting to be a long audio, it's already at 16 minutes and 42 seconds. But this is an important part of the story. And I'm just going to leave it for people who want to keep listening. And for the record, so there is a sort of sequence that I see in terms of, you know, bringing certain things together. Because Jor Jung and Marion Vorn, that's the respective names of the spiritual being that would be coming through me and the woman that I was with at the time, which is also coming through many other bodies. Whatever level and degree of awakeness and an awareness of that, I don't know. I'm only talking about myself here. And so the importance is that the first part of the name of the male being is, that's the oldest being from this civilization. That's the father of Voonman Ron and Rick Lodanon. And you know, because like I said, the couples are like born couples. So the parents, you know, give birth to couples who are lovers who stay together for the rest of their life. So it's obviously not a birthing process like it is here in the world. It's just something that happens, you know, in the spiritual light or something like that. And so the female being that is the forever lover of Jor Jung is Marion Vorn. Now, Robin El Preslian, which is the legal name of Voonman Ron when he died in the body in California in 2006, Voonman Ron's parents are Jor Jung and Marion Vorn, his forever parents. And when he started channeling, when that gentleman came, or that was a student of his, came to him and said, I'm channeling and they want to talk to you. And so it was like, well, who wants to talk to him? Jorn, J-O-R-N. So when I take the name of Jor Jung and Marion Vorn and I put those two names together, somehow to me, I get Jorn. Like, I just, like, who is Jorn, right? That, and Jorn is the first, you know, being that Voonman Ron connected to, or that connected to Voonman Ron. Makes sense, it would be his parents. So they connected to him and sort of woke him up from wherever they were and however they were communicating with him and getting to him, you know, reaching to him in the body. And then he very on his own continued that conversation with them, and they started to take him through several years of like training and practicing to be a spiritual medium and to be able to do channeling of his own. And then it got to the point where he started channeling the All That Is, and by the point that he was channeling the All That Is, he was also, which at first he called, you know, infinite intelligence or the computers from home and, you know, different kind of names until it finally became, you know, the all that is, our forever friend from always, you know, the same all that is that we refer to here in the world. The same all that is that's here in the world for everybody to connect with. And he was saying, you know, okay, now I'm channeling the all that is. And I think that he was able to do that only because of the balance that was being held by the body of me and the body of the woman that I was in a relationship with, that was primarily about grounding the spiritual being of Voonman's parents, Marie Onvor and Jor Yong, so that he could do the channeling of the all that is. And as soon as he started doing the channeling of the all that is, I don't mean that very second, but, you know, those months, that year, those years when he started switching from channeling Jorn to now actually having Jorn be present with him as his parents in these two bodies of myself and this other woman, you see? It's like, instead of them, now he had a better connection, right? And then he was able to channel the all that is. And as soon as he started channeling the all that is, he said, well, you and that other woman are actually better channels of the all that is than I am. And he was good. He said, and now you're official channels of the all that is. And he kind of passed that mantle over to us. And, you know, then what happened and what proceeded from that point is... that we started to work on things together more than we ever were able to before, in terms of you know, publishing the Practically Magical Use of Liszt, and in terms especially of getting him going with his singing career and other things that we started to do, like the El Presleyan Foundation of Forever Being, Hawaii Nonprofit Corporation. And then you know, the evolution and the story and how it unfolds from that point, you know, is to be addressed and to be discussed at other parts of the story. And I hope that this audio brings some points of interest and elements of intrigue and mystery and importance to add perspective to the rest of the story as it's being told in writing and with other audios in the legendary El Presleyan family story, which you can read as a digital novel and listen to at elpresleyan.ca.